right. We have been in a series called The Unseen. The Unseen. Have you seen it? The Unseen. So today is what? November 10th, 2019. And we've already done The Invisible Battle. And last week we did The Invisible Creation. And today we're going to do The Invisible Me. The Invisible Me. Can you see me? But can you really see me? No, I have to reveal myself to you, the real me, because the real me is hidden. Just like when God said, I want you to build a tabernacle for me, and I want you to build it exactly after the pattern, Moses. And the pattern was is that there would actually be three sections, right? There would be the court of the Gentiles, where everybody could come and everybody could see. That's what you see. You're a triune being. Everybody can see your outer court. Some of us are a little upset with our outer court. My outer court seems to be getting bigger all the time. I'm working on that, kinda, sometimes, on a Monday. Then Tuesday I work on my comfort. But then the holy place was the next level into or closer to the presence of God, where God said, I'll meet with you. And in there, only the priests, right, and the Levites were allowed to be. And so, similarly, you have a hidden court. But there was another place. It was called the Holy of Holies. And that's where God said he would meet with them. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, in the mercy seat. And nobody, just not just anybody went back there. It was the high priest that would go back. And so you too have a hidden place that unless you reveal that part of you, no one sees it. No one sees it. And so today we're going to be looking at the invisible me. The theme or foundational scriptures that we've been using are out of Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3. Let's look at those now. Scripture says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen or unseen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen are made by things that do not appear or things that are unseen. So everything that we see was made by things that are unseen or God who is unseen. And then verse 24 talks about Moses. This is the faith chapter, goes through a lot of different of our ancestors and says, by faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of daughters Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. Now I'm laughing too. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible or unseen, another version says. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 20, these are the foundational scriptures. For the invisible things of him, him being God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So invisible things, his character and his nature, they're revealed through creation. Then the last one that was our foundational scriptures are Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Talking about Jesus, who is the invisible, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the firstborn of creation. 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Did you hear that? All things were created by him. All things were created by him, and they were created for him. So today, for the invisible me, we're going to look at one more scripture right now, and this is 2 Corinthians 4:16. And Paul writes, and he says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, right? Our outward man is dying. We're all given a number of years by the Lord. We come in the volume of the book written of us. And from the time we're born, our sin nature is bringing forth what God said it would. It brings forth death. And so as you get older, you recognize that more and more. When you're young, you think you're going to live forever, but it's not true. And so our outer man is decaying, but he says, but our inward man or our inner man is being renewed day by day. Your outward man might be decaying and dying, but your inner man is taking on the image of him who created him. And so we're being made in the image of God. And so today is the invisible me. Father, thank you for your spirit. Lord, your spirit that leads us into all truth, that also shows us things to come. You tell us in Corinthians that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. And so thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gave and inspired the writing of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us insight today to be able to understand your character, your nature, your will for us in the things of God. And so we thank you for opening our eyes to see you, how you want us to see you, Father. Thank you for opening our eyes to see us so that we can see us how you want us to see us, Father. And thank you for opening up our eyes to the world around us so that we can see it as you see it. And if you want that, say amen. Amen. All right. The invisible me. First and foremost, you as an individual, hopefully you know you have immense value. You have intrinsic value. You were made in the image of God. After God created everything, we have in the Genesis account, he says, now let us make man in our own image. That means whether you're in the womb, regardless of how long you've been in the womb, you have intrinsic value because you're made in the image of God. Whether you're a newborn, whether you're 90, whether you're what people would say is talented or untalented, or whether people think you're beautiful or nobody thinks you're beautiful, whether you have riches or whether you're poor, it does not matter because in the kingdom of God, you are valuable. And you're so valuable that it's not that Jesus would die for you. Jesus did die for you. He knows you're so valuable that he gave his life, the God of all creation, in exchange for your life. There's no greater value. That's why Jesus could say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Quit chasing the world. You think it's going to give you satisfaction. You think there are things that are actually going to bring you fulfillment. If I could just get this much more money, if I could just get out from underneath this, if I could just get in this relationship, if I could just get out of that relationship, if I could just live here or live at this standard of living, I would just know that is not what gives fulfillment. Jesus said, if you ask me, I'll give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? There's a lot of, based on the world standard, there's a lot of riches out there. And Jesus said, you are more valuable than it all. You have intrinsic value in the eyes of God, immense value. As God created you in his image, and God created you with the purpose to enjoy him and to enjoy the creation that he made for him and for us. And so when Jesus came, he gives us some insight into his desire. And he says to the woman at the well, he says, for the Father desires true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. What do you mean, Jesus? You want us to worship you in spirit. He gives little clues to different people at different times. But thankfully, we have the collection of them all so that we can kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together, right? Nicodemus, you must be born again. To the woman at the well, he says, worship me in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship him in spirit and in truth? I'm sure some of us, we all took different time this morning taking care of our outer man. Thank you for covering it. I'm styling. I know that. Got my tan shirt on today. That's my Sunday going to church shirt. You know why I wear this shirt? Hey, guys. Yeah. Kathleen knew. She said it's comfortable. Guys, do you wear clothes because they're comfortable? Are you like me? Yep. One person. Good. We take care of our outer man. You took care of your outer man. I'm looking around. Most of you look like you brushed your hair. You took care? Did you put a little of the deodorant and antiperspirant on? You didn't want to stink. Right? Last thing you want to do is be sitting next to somebody with BO. Last thing you want is a person next to you sitting next to somebody with BO. Right? You brushed your teeth. You didn't want to talk to somebody and have them go, praise the Lord. Woo. Right? So you took care of your outer man. You washed her up. You washed him up. You got ready. Ladies, you put on makeup. So you put on your outer beauty. I shouldn't go there. Should I run from that? That would be wise. The guys are like, no, do it. We want to see you get in trouble. Right? But we need to align ourselves with the kingdom. And the kingdom says that our inner man should take priority over our outer man. That doesn't mean we don't take care of our outer man, right? Some people take that to an extreme. And, you know, you can tell who they are, right? They think that the outer garment or the way that they wear plainness or just naturalness is holy. But that's not the point. The scripture says, don't merely adorn yourself with jewelry. In other words, don't just adorn yourself with jewelry, but consider the inner person. So the scripture tells us not to just take care of our outer man, which we should, but to take care of our inner man. Did you give any thought to your inner man today? So in Colossians it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Right? So you go to the inner man closet today and you pull out the shirt that's comfortable of compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. Go ahead and put that scripture up. I'm forgetting some of them. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, meekness, lowliness, patience. Did you think about putting on patience before you left your house today? Because you need it, right? How many of you have ever had, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're just, you know, you can stay in bed for a while and you're having a wonderful time with the Lord, or you're in devotions and you're like, you're on the mountaintop and you're like, man, this day can't get any better. And then you meet the first human being. You ever experience that? And it's like, then it's the worst day ever. Right? Why? Because we have to clothe ourselves with long suffering. Why do we have to clothe ourselves with long suffering? Because people are just as annoying as we are. It's not them, it's us. Right? Because we're all different. We're all different. Some of us are just naturally made as like planners, organizers, you beavers. You're just like builders. You come into a room and you see everything in blueprints. And you look at us otters who are just playing in the water. What's wrong with those people? Why do they just make a joke out of everything? Don't they ever know how to be serious? And all the otters are like, whoa, stay in your lane, bro. That commercial, I forget what it is. Stay in your lane. The tattoo artist, stay in your lane, bro. It's like, it's okay, relax. Right? And those two opposite end of the extremes, we need to learn to have, we got to put that on. And that's an inner man thing. Right? Because if it doesn't become an inner man thing, your outer man will take over and you'll just spew on everybody. So what's the next verse? I have 13 up there. Forbearing one another. That's a good idea. And forgiving one another. That's important. So important. We need to forgive as we've been forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven of a lot? Have you been forgiven of some pretty ugly stuff? If you don't know you have, you don't understand forgiveness. Because it's not so much what you've done, it's who we are. It's who we are. We are sons and daughters of the rebel Adam. And we have a bent toward self-rule. We have a bent toward self-governing. That's why when God says to do this and go in this direction, we have a tendency to go, I don't think so. All right, so forgiving one another, if every man has a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye, you King Jamesers, do ye. And above all, clothe yourselves, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or perfectedness. Love. Love covers a multitude of sins. So we have this inner man. And it's very important that we, at least if you want to be, bunch of words, if you want to be successful in the kingdom, God has a kingdom. Every kingdom has a king. Every kingdom has a people. Every kingdom has a law. Every kingdom has its boundaries. You're his people. You desire to be in his kingdom. We should then desire to know how his kingdom functions. And scripture makes it very clear that God wants us to learn how to function with our spirit, small s. You are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. There are fine Christians, fine leaders who I respect who disagree with me. They would say we have an inner man and an outer man, that's it. And there's no distinction between the inner man. In other words, they would say the spirit and the soul are really the same thing. But I disagree. I think scripture makes it very clear there's a difference between the spirit and the soul. And I think even by, bad word here, experience, you know, you can recognize that there's a difference. And so it's very important that we recognize that difference, because God's desire in his kingdom is what? Worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I would think that's important, that we would want to know what that is. Well, I'm born again. That covers it. No, it doesn't. It's the start. It's a start. But when scripture says things like walk by the Spirit, I have to learn to walk by the Spirit. That involves big S and little s, to walk by the Spirit. And so just scriptures real quick to look at, that we're not talking about just man-made ideas. Go ahead and put up Galatians 5:16 just so that you can see it. Paul writes to the Galatian church, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you go back into Galatians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the Galatian church about how they started so wonderfully walking in the Spirit and not leaning on the works of the flesh. And then he has to tell them, who has bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit, that now you're trying to be perfected by the works of the flesh. They got out from that truth and were walking by the flesh instead of the Spirit. And so he had to bring correction so that they could be successful in their walk and effective in their walk. And so here's probably one of the, in my opinion, one of the most clearest scriptures that says there's a difference between spirit and soul, and it's Hebrews chapter 4:12. It says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of what? Soul and spirit. Isn't it interesting that soul is first and spirit is second? That's very important in scripture too. It's called the law of first mention. Whatever is mentioned first is always in authority. That the Holy Spirit and God wanted us to know for a reason why he put the one first is because it's in authority. If you look in the scriptures and you see as Saul becomes Paul, and Paul is starting to enter into church and enter into his ministry and his call, you'll see he meets up with Barnabas, and Barnabas is the one that helps him come into the church because the church is suspicious of him. And you'll see it's Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. That's not a mistake. Because Barnabas is the one who's kind of out in the front. But then you'll see a switch. And then it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. And so another example of that would be is when, do you remember when Miriam and Aaron were complaining about Moses and saying, is he the only prophet in Israel? What about us? And it says Miriam and Aaron. And you wonder why Miriam got the leprosy? Because that's why her name's first. She was the one pulling the strings, and she was the one that was orchestrating and leading that against Moses. And you wonder why Aaron didn't have anything happen to him. It's because she was the one. So, law of first mention. So, the word of God comes to you and comes to your soul and spirit. And when your soul man is in authority over your little s spirit man, that's not the way God designed you to live. Because your soul man is your mind, your will, your emotions. God doesn't want your mind, your thoughts, your mindsets over his voice. Do you have wrestlings going on in your mind? Do you have this constant battle going on in your mind? It's because the mindsets and the will of God are coming against the mindsets of the natural man. And so the soul is in ascendancy here. It's above. It's preeminent. It's in priority. And so it's so important that we understand the invisible us, the invisible me. Because if we're going to walk by the Spirit, we have to learn how to do that. And we've been learning in our Sunday school class in John chapter 14. You know, Jesus said, greater works shall you do. And those greater works are going to come through us learning how to walk in and by the Spirit. Right? We were talking this morning about Diane, who the week before, she, Sister Tammy was having an ear issue, and Diane just stood up and laid her hands on her head and prayed for her. Diane doesn't do that kind of stuff, right? Diane's not Christy. Christy's the lion. Diane's the lamb. Come on. I want to hear amen, Chris. I want to hear a testimony from the back. She won't say it. It's true. So anyway, if you know Diane, she's very quiet. She doesn't want to, but that's what she was saying. She didn't want to, she was sitting there and she realized, no, this is the Spirit of God prompting me to do this. She didn't, and she's wrestling with, I don't want to step out of God's will. I don't want to do this if it's me. And so she's learned to know, no, this is God. I got to get up out of this seat and I got to do it. That doesn't come in a day. You don't learn that in a day. You don't learn that in a week. You don't learn that in a month. You learn that as you walk with the Lord. And so to learn how to, Ephesians, walk by the Spirit, we have to recognize there's a difference. Your soul man will speak to you, and he'll tell you lies. And the Word of God has to come and separate that so that your spirit man can receive what God says, and so you can live by that worldview instead of the world's worldview. Another verse that talks about a distinction very clearly between how you're made, the invisible you, is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify or set you apart wholly or completely. It doesn't get any clearer than this for me. May your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved entirely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I honor the people who say there's only an inner man and an outer man because they have a love for Scripture and they have a different opinion of how this is interpreted. But again, I just disagree. And it's not a salvific issue. It's an in-house issue. But it's a very important issue. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Did I put those in there? I can't remember if I put those in there. I did. Good. All right. Look at how Paul, he's talking like a psycho. right? Because we're uncomfortable about some of the things of walking in the Spirit and how the Spirit moves and how some of the things that God would have us do make us uncomfortable, right? And so Paul here says, for he that speaks in a tongue, what's he talking about, a tongue? We all talk with tongues. I'm looking around. I'm trying to see how much I have to actually do this here. I think we're good. All right. So what kind of tongues is he talking about here? He's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit where God will let you speak in a tongue that is not your own. And then you can, after you are God's and you have the Spirit of God in you, there's different types of tongues. There's a tongue that happens in the assembly where somebody speaks in a tongue and it needs interpreted. There's another tongue that's just your tongue, your personal prayer language that you do, and you can initiate any time. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you to do that. You initiate that with your spirit. And notice what Paul says here. He says that he that speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no man understands it. I'm speaking with my spirit mysteries, small s. I'm speaking with my spirit mysteries. I don't even know what I'm saying. That's uncomfortable for a lot of people. It was uncomfortable for me. Do you know I stopped coming to this church because of tongues? I've shared that with you before. I stopped coming. Brother D called me about 3 weeks later. He says, where you been? I said, all around. He said, well, it's time to get back in the saddle, isn't it? Those are his exact words. I said, I don't ride a horse. No. He says, it's time to get back in the saddle, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. He said, all right, I'm going to pray for you. Okay, bye. Click. I was in church the next day. Because I struggled with this. My mind struggled with this. So the next verses that I have up there, 14. For if I pray in a tongue, what prays? My spirit prays. But my mind, my understanding is what? Unfruitful. So while I'm praying, me, you, pray in a tongue, our spirit is praying, but our soul man is ignorant of what's going on. That's crazy. But that's part of the kingdom. And that you learn that it's actually not crazy because of how God made us. We are spirit, soul, and body. And you have to learn to function out of your spirit, and your soul responds to the truth of God and the Holy Spirit in your spirit, and your soul man directs your thoughts from that, your emotions from that truth of God, your decisions you make, and your body then concurs with the initiation from the spirit through the soul. If it's out of order, it's out of order. Next verse. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So now, Paul has two prayers going at the same time. He's got his spirit praying, of which his mind has no idea. But while he's doing that, he can with his mind also pray with what he understands. Whether he's doing it at the same time is irrelevant. He does both, right? So is my mind my inner man? Yeah, it's my inner man. So there's a distinction between my spirit and my mind. That's what he's saying. But here's an interesting one, and maybe you did this today. I did this today. I will sing with the spirit. My spirit can sing, has a much better voice than my voice. Never out of tune, always right on beat. I will sing with the spirit. Isn't that amazing, JJ? JJ is the closest one normally to my voice, and whenever I sing a wrong word or I go off key, he always goes like this. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind, the understanding also. Are you, see it? There's this distinction in the scriptures between the spirit and the soul, or the other part of your inner man. And so if you're going to love the Lord Jesus Christ as he would have you love him, he says, my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. Right? And so out of all the times you've heard God's voice, how many times have you heard it with your ears? Twice. Some people do. But if you're going to rely on God to give you an audible voice to give you direction or to tell you something, it's going to take a while. Because he speaks so many different ways, and he speaks usually through his word by your spirit. So how do you learn to walk in the spirit? Good question. How do you learn to hear with your spirit? Because it's uncomfortable. It's something you have. Your spirit man has senses, just like your soul man has senses, right? Anybody cold today in here? You're really cold? Anyone else cold? Wow. See, it's different. You can't please everybody. And look, yeah, Alicia's sweating and Tammy's cold, and they're right next to each other. Right? So how many of you are hot today? It's hot in here. And how many of you are like the good bear? You're just right. Yeah, God love you. All right, so how do you know you're cold? You feel it? What do you mean you feel it? Well, who told you that feeling is coldness? Who told you that? She's learned it, right? And then what do you do when you feel that? You start going, man, I got to start taking off clothes. Right, you're going to cover up. Because you've learned through experience, through your senses, that when your body sends these messages to your mind that you've learned, this is coldness, you instinctively go like this. Why? Because our core body temperature needs to stay warm. This is the safe zone, right? And we just naturally go like this to keep ourselves warm, right? You had to learn that, and you learned it well. Same, and I've talked about these all this. Right now, right? Some of us right now, we're starting to get that feeling in our pie hole receptacle area. Right? And so I was with Micah about 3 days ago, and he's laying on my chest area right here in my gut, and we hear this loud belly growl. And I said, was that you? And he goes, yeah. Yeah. Right? And so I feel that and I go, oh, let me get a coat. No. My body is telling me I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. Right? So we've learned to recognize our senses of our soul man and our body. We have to learn the same way that what our spirit tells us. You have to learn, and how do you do it? You do it through experience. You do it through experience. I would say one of the best ways that I learned to experience, and I would encourage you, and you do this, I'm sure many of you, you're reading God's word, and then all of a sudden a certain portion of scripture comes alive to you. All right? That's God training you. And what happens is that's happening. God is spirit. And he wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that's not a mental exercise that's happening right now. That is a spirit exercise. And so all of a sudden, something comes alive to you, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, and your mind interprets it as a revelation. Something that is life to you right then. That is God teaching you how to walk by the Spirit. He's not just giving you a word for the day. He's letting you exercise your spirit man. And so the more you do that and the more you sense what's happening, the more you will understand when you aren't in here, when all of a sudden you're just out and about and all of a sudden you get this, we call them unctions. We call them intuitions. We call them conscience. We call them discernment. You know, there's all these different things. All of a sudden you recognize, hey, something's up here. Something's up here. And I have to discern what the Spirit, whether it's the Holy Spirit, my spirit, both, is trying to tell me so that I can function in the kingdom at that moment. And that comes through time. It comes through walking with the Lord. So I can remember, we went to New York. It was my first time in New York. And as soon as my feet hit the ground in New York and I started walking, I sensed it. And my spirit man just started, how do I describe it? Activating. Right? Because we all respond to it differently. Your response to it isn't the deal, right? Some of us, we cry. Some of us shout. Some of us shout in the tongue, right? We all respond to it differently. Some of us may worship, whatever. But when my spirit man started to activate, I was trying to process what's going on. We're just walking in the street. I didn't say, hey, everybody, this is something's going on. You know, you just try and figure this out. And I didn't. I did not figure it out. I could not process it. And even when I got back, I tried to process it in terms of, and I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. I prayed in my prayer language. Maybe that's what I was supposed to do. I don't know. But for like 10 minutes, I mean, it was just so strong. And then it just dissipated and went away. But I missed it. Or I didn't miss it. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I've walked with the Lord long enough to know something was going on, and that happened through my spirit, man. We had prayer this past Thursday, first Thursday of every month, and we were in a circle and we were praying for someone, and I sensed in my spirit, and I heard these words: "It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault." And so I shared that with that individual. It's not your fault. And then a little while later, I heard trust. Trust. But it wasn't a trust for that individual to say, you need to trust God. It was different. It was like they had been, a covenant was broken, a pledge was broken, whatever was broken. And I said, no, God is saying trust, because he's going to restore your trust in someone else, right? And you learn that where that comes from, and until you step out and do it, it's scary for a few reasons. You don't want to say something that is of you, right? And so a lot of times we will let that paralyze us. It's good to have that healthy respect for God and the Spirit, not to want to speak out of place or let it be you. It's good. But we also can't let that be an excuse for not stepping out. And you have to learn. That's what it is to learn and walk, to recognize that Spirit activity by the Holy Spirit in your life. And so when Jesus says, greater work shall you do, Jesus would say this: I do nothing except I see the Father do it. Can we really allow God to give us things to see so we can do it? Yes. In Acts chapter 2, it says the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, and Peter gives expression to it, and he says, this is the promise that was spoken of in the prophet Joel. And he says, the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon you. It is for you and for your descendants, for your manservants and your female servants, and he will give your old men dreams and your young men visions, and you'll prophesy all by the Spirit. And you have to learn to not be cuckoo and crazy, right? Because some people respond when you first learn to walk in it, or you're in a culture, in a stream that's kind of cuckoo crazy. You know, everybody expresses it that way. But out there in the real world, you don't want to be a hindrance to people who God wants to reach, because you get emotionally involved in this moving of the Spirit. I hope I'm not confusing matters. You have a spirit. You have an inner man, the invisible you. And God so desires to commune with you in that place. That is the place where he has communion, where he has intimacy with you. You process it with your mind. That's why when you read the scriptures, and Ezekiel says, I was taken up into the third heaven, and I saw what looked like a throne, and he says it had the appearance of a throne, and he uses this word all the time, the appearance of. He's trying to, with his soul man and his intellect and the words and the language that he spoke, to try and give expression to something that was taking place that he saw in the spirit. And sometimes you just can't do it. I love to see an individual who is fresh off a spiritual encounter with the Lord and them trying to give expression to it. It's like, because you have a spirit and God wants to commune with you in spirit. And that intimacy that you can have with God in your spirit, man, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. So he's encouraging us to learn what that is. I should probably quit for the sake of time. Did someone say, mm-hmm? Was that my confirmation? All right, I'll take it as that. I have more, but we'll shift gears a little bit. Not a lot, but so the reason why I say not a lot is because I believe that this is a God moment. This is a God moment that we're about to do. Emily, worship team, please join her. So let me read you out of Acts chapter 4. This is our two-way offering that we're gonna do now. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set this table, right? So normally ladies, maybe some guys, right? You have people coming over. You're going to have people from over for Thanksgiving. You're going to set the table. The reason why you set the table is why? So that people can partake of it. So people can come to the table and actually, what's the word? Engage, right? If you don't set the table, people can't engage properly, right? Like we sat down at a restaurant, we're like, we have no silverware. So Acts chapter 4, I'm just setting the table here. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was their own, but had all things in common property to them. We're not there yet. But this is a good step in the right direction. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of lands or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each as any had need. So there's precedent here, right? So you can play. So, we're all in different seasons, right? We're all in different parts of our lives. God has blessed many of us with excess. And that's who's going to come. And I'm going to put this, let me show you it. This is one of our communion coverings that makes it holy and set apart. That's why it's white. I'm going to set this behind the pulpit. The reason why I'm putting it behind the pulpit is because I don't want anybody to see what you give. I also, when people come, you don't need to see what people take. Okay? So this is where you're going to, if you're a giver today and God has given you excess to meet the needs of those in our family, I want you to, you'll come shortly and you'll place it on the white blanket, okay? So recognize, For those of you not only giving, but those of you who are also receiving today, this is a sacred moment as givers and receivers. It's a sacred moment.